Thanks, Matt. Hello, everyone. I'm Deepak Vasisht, and I'll tell you about a system that can achieve decimeter-level localization with a single Wi-Fi access point. This is joint work with my colleague Swaroon and my advisor, Dina. In recent years, we have seen many great systems that can achieve accurate Wi-Fi localization. Today, systems can locate off-the-shelf devices with an accuracy of tens of centimeters. But there's one big problem. All these systems need 4 to 5 access points to localize, which is okay for places like this hotel or offices or shopping malls where you have many, many access points. But think about it. Do we always have so many access points? I'm doing my PhD in wireless networks, and yet I have just one AP at my home. And I'm sure most of you have one AP at your homes too. And it's not just about homes. If you think about a Starbucks or a bookstore or any of these small businesses, all of them have just one access point. So in spite of all this great work in wireless localization, there does not exist a system that works for you, that works for a Starbucks or any of these small businesses. But you may ask me, why would I need a wireless localization system for my home or a Starbucks? Well, recently we have seen such a big trend for smart homes. So if I can use the single access point that I have at my home to find out that I'm sitting on my couch watching TV, then I can just reduce the heat and light in the rest of my apartment automatically. Similarly, if you walk into a Starbucks, you always get free Wi-Fi. But if you talk to them, they tell us that they're very much interested in restricting free Wi-Fi access only to their customers. They don't want to be giving free Wi-Fi to their neighbors and end up causing congestion for their own customers. So if they can use the single access point that they have to locate their users, they can authenticate Wi-Fi access based on location. And these are just two examples. In the more general case, you can think about device-to-device localization without any support from the infrastructure. So let's say you're traveling to a foreign country and you want to find your friend on this train station. This might not even have Wi-Fi. Forget having a Wi-Fi localization system. But all that you need to do is to take your tablet and use it as an access point, locate your friend, and walk towards him. So single AP localization is really useful in all these scenarios, for homes, for small businesses, and for device-to-device localization. And that's exactly the problem that we are going to talk about today. In this talk, I'm going to present to you our system Kronos that can achieve decimeter-level localization with a single Wi-Fi card. The key enabler of Kronos is a new algorithm that can estimate propagation delay to an accuracy of sub-nanoseconds. We have implemented Kronos in multiple practical settings, and I'll talk to you about our results later. So before we go deeper into techniques behind Kronos, let's take a step back and try and understand why today's systems need multiple access points. So let's say I want to locate my cell phone. So what today's systems would do is take an access point with multiple antennas and use it as an antenna array to find the direction that the signal is coming from. They can then do this from multiple vantage points and triangulate to find the location. So let me ask you a very simple question. What if I just give you one access point, and we know that it can measure the angle? What other information can enable you to find the position of this device? Of course, distance. So if I also know the distance to this device, I'm done. And to measure distance, recall that wireless signals are nothing but electromagnetic waves. They travel through the air at the speed of light. So if I can measure the time that it takes for the signal to go from the cell phone to the access point, I can just multiply it by the speed of light and get the distance. So the next obvious question, of course, is how do we measure propagation delay? So I just told you, right, that wireless signals are electromagnetic waves. And like all other waves, they have an amplitude and a phase. And the phase of the signal is given by this equation right here. So if you're transmitting the signal at frequency f, and it takes time t to reach the receiver, then the phase, which can be measured at the access point, is given by this equation. So I can just plug in the phase and get the propagation delay. But unfortunately for us, the phase is always measured mod 2 pi. So this equation here has multiple solutions. So if I measure the phase of my signal at a typical Wi-Fi frequency, say 2.4 gigahertz, I get all these possibilities for my time of flight corresponding to exactly the same phase of the signal. So we need to pick the correct one among these. And the nice part about Wi-Fi, as Bryce already has told us, that it lets you transmit at multiple frequency bands. So I can measure the phase of my signal at all these frequencies, get the corresponding possibilities for propagation delay, and pick the correct one as the one where they all agree. So mathematically, we can write this as a set of equations, where each equation corresponds to a phase measurement on a specific frequency, and then solve them using the standard Chinese remainder theorem to get the propagation delay. So we now know how to measure the propagation delay of a signal. But there is one fundamental problem with this approach. So we're trying to measure propagation delay, but the fact that we are trying to measure something means that we have to detect it first, and there's a delay in the detection itself. So let me go into a bit more detail on this point. So let's just take this access point and break it open. Let's see what lies inside. So there's this antenna, which receives the signal. Then there's this component called the mixer, which I'll talk to you about in a bit. And then there's a detection phase, where the detection delay takes place. And then there is a decoding phase, where the measurement of the phase takes place. So the problem is that the detection delay is much, much larger than the propagation delay. In typical indoor settings, when the propagation delay is around 20 nanoseconds, the detection delay could be as high as 200 nanoseconds. What makes it worse is that the detection delay is unpredictable. It varies from packet to packet, and its variation itself is as high as the propagation delay. So we're trying to measure the propagation delay, but what we end up measuring is just the detection delay, as it overshadows the propagation delay completely. So we need to get rid of this detection delay. And the way Kronos does it is by leveraging the fact that the propagation delay and the detection delay happen at different frequencies. I'll describe it to you a bit more here. So when we talk about Wi-Fi, we say that it transmits at, say, 2.4 gigahertz or 5 gigahertz. What we actually mean is that it's the transmission frequency of Wi-Fi. That's how it's transmitted over the air. But immediately after it's received, this mixer right here reduces the frequency by something called the center frequency, or FC here. So while the propagation delay happens at the transmission frequency, the detection delay happens at a much lower frequency, F minus FC. So if we go back to our phase equation and modify it to take into account the detection delay, we'll see something like this. So we have a component corresponding to the propagation delay and a component for the detection delay. So what we ideally want is that we want to make this component go to zero. And one way of doing that is to leverage that Wi-Fi uses OFDM. So when Wi-Fi transmits on a frequency band, it transmits at multiple narrow bands within it called the OFDM subcarriers. So if I can pick a subcarrier such that F is equal to FC, then I can just make this term go to zero. Unfortunately for us, Wi-Fi does not transmit at the center frequency. So what Kronos does to go around this issue is that it leverages the fact that while Wi-Fi does not transmit at the center frequency, it transmits at frequencies around the center frequency. So while I cannot measure the phase at the center frequency here, I can measure the phase at adjacent frequencies, interpolate them, and find the phase as if it were measured at the center frequency itself. I can then use this phase and get rid of this detection delay. I can repeat this process for all the frequency bands that we saw before and get all the equations again and get the propagation delay independent of the detection delay altogether. So now I have told you how we can measure the propagation delay and get rid of the detection delay that occurs. There are additional system challenges that Kronos needs to take over before we can build the system. And I'll talk to you about them one by one. So let's start with initial phase offsets. So all the Wi-Fi devices that we have an oscillator inside them which generates this signal that we are talking about. And just by the fact that different devices have different oscillators, they have a phase offset between them, which corrupts our phase measurements by adding this term delta phi here. And we need to get rid of this before we can estimate the time of flight. And the way Kronos does this is by using acknowledgments. So when my device sends a packet, I measure the phase. Immediately afterwards, the access point sends an acknowledgment for this packet, and we measure the phase on that as well. Notice that the phase offset now has an opposite sign. And that's because the Wi-Fi transmitter and the Wi-Fi receiver have now switched roles between them. And we can just add them up to get rid of this phase offset. Let's talk about the multipath effect a bit. So for now, we have assumed that the signal from my device to the access point travels along one straight path. But unfortunately, there's all these objects in the surrounding which Wi-Fi reflects off. And it combines at the receiver after all these reflections. So we've been trying to measure propagation delay, but each of these paths have a different propagation delay. So what are we exactly measuring here? I'll not go into the details of our solution. I encourage you to read our paper for that. But on a high level, what Kronos does is leverage a new algorithm based on FFT and sparsity to find the delay for each of these paths. Once I can find the delay for each of these paths, I can easily pick the direct path because the direct path is always the shortest. I've described to you the key principles behind Kronos. Let's talk about our experimental evaluation. We implemented Kronos on off-the-shelf Intel 5300 Wi-Fi cards. It was implemented as a kernel modification to the IWL Wi-Fi driver on the Ubuntu kernel. And the ground truth measurements were done using a laser measurement device, which is accurate to a millimeter. This is one of our evaluation test beds. This is one of our offices at MIT. And the size is 20 meters by 20 meters. We pick random locations on this test bed and see if we can measure the distance and relative position between two devices. So we started with talking about distance. We wanted to measure distance. And let's see how well Kronos does on that front. So on x-axis, I'll plot the error, and the y-axis as the CDF. So in line of sight, Kronos can achieve an accuracy of 14 centimeters, whereas in non-line of sight, it can achieve an accuracy of 21 centimeters. So these are the distance measurement results. We built on top of this to get a localization system that can measure relative position of two devices. We used two 3 antenna devices to locate each other. And let's see what are the results. So the x-axis, again, is the error, and the y-axis is the CDF. In line of sight, Kronos could achieve a localization accuracy of 65 centimeters, whereas in non-line of sight, it did 98 centimeters. So the errors are a bit larger than the distance errors. That's primarily because there's some angle error that comes in. But if you compare this to the state of the art, the paper called Spot5, which was published in SIGCOM this year, you can see that to achieve a similar accuracy, Spot5 needs 4 to 5 access points, whereas Kronos can do it with just one access point. So Kronos can achieve state-of-the-art localization accuracy with a single access point. So we started by talking about these applications that we want to build. So we went ahead and deployed Kronos in all of those, and let's see how well Kronos performs. Let's start with smart homes. So I deployed Kronos at my apartment at MIT. We placed the access point at the center, which is the typical location of an access point. I moved around my house to different random locations, and the job of Kronos was to figure out which room I was in. So Kronos could do that with an accuracy of 94%. So the next application that we talked about was Wi-Fi geofencing. We wanted to be able to authenticate Wi-Fi based on a user's location. So we collaborated with a coffee shop around MIT. Again, the access point is centrally located. We went to different tables and chairs inside the coffee shop and tried Kronos out, and also at random locations outside. And the goal of Kronos was to find out if a user was inside or outside so that we can authenticate Wi-Fi for him. Kronos could do that with an accuracy of 97%. Only in 3% of the cases was a user outside and still he could get access. And in no case was a user who was legitimate was denied access. And finally, in order to test device-to-device localization, we built Kronos on a drone, and we asked him to follow a user around and take pictures of them as they go about their daily activities. And the goal of Kronos was to maintain a fixed distance to the user. These experiments were conducted in a Vicon room, which we also use for the ground truth. Vicon is an infrared array system worth $500,000 that can accurately track infrared markers. So the ground truth was done using a Vicon room. So this is how the user moved in our experiment inside the Vicon room. And the drone could accurately follow the user in this room. So let's see how well could the drone maintain this distance. On the x-axis, I'll plot the error in the distance measurement. This is in centimeters. It was meters before. And the y-axis is the CDF. So the median error is just 4.2 centimeters. And this error is much lower than our previous errors because these experiments are relatively line of sight and at a much smaller distance than the previous experiments. So Kronos can enable device-to-device localization without any support from the infrastructure. Of course, Kronos is built on a large body of literature in wireless localization, but all these systems need multiple access points to locate a user, whereas Kronos could do it with one access point. The closest work that comes to us is SAIL, which was published in Mobisys 2014. It uses just one access point, but it requires the user to move to different locations, which is actually creating multiple access points from the user's perspective. To conclude, I presented to you our system called Kronos, which is the first system to enable accurate localization on off-the-shelf Wi-Fi cards. Its key enabler is a novel algorithm that can estimate accurate propagation delay by eliminating the detection delay altogether. Thank you. I'll take questions now.
I'm going to preempt you and ask a quick question. Sure. How long does it take to localize? How many packets do you need? A lot of measurements? Does it converge very quickly? Can I do it with a single round trip?
You cannot do it with a single round trip because you need at least one packet on different frequency bands. But you need, like, say, three packets per frequency band, for example.
So in practice, when you're doing your experiments, are you finding that it's going very quickly, or is it maybe take 20, 30 seconds?
Like 3 seconds is the delay.
Okay.
3 seconds.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So Omid from USC, I was wondering for the, do you need multiple antennas to detect the angle?
Yes, so that's a very good question. So there's like two modes that you can operate in. So if you talk about a single access point mode, then you need multiple antennas to detect the angle. The other mode is to use like single antenna devices at different locations and just do it with distance. So the primitive here is like we are adding the primitive distance measurement. So you can use it to localize using angle, which requires multiple antennas. Or you can use single antennas and use multiple devices at like different vantage points.
I see. No. Okay, thanks.
Hello there. Luis Pedroza from USC.
Hi.
So you talk about using packets from multiple different frequencies so that you can work out the phase for the distance. Most Wi-Fi devices pick a frequency, which is the frequency that the AP is on.
Yeah.
Do you need collaboration from the device to jump between frequencies? And is there some kind of system that's, how does that part work?
Yeah, so we need collaboration from the device for so that they can jump between frequencies at the same time. And we have, so the details are in a paper, but on a high level, our acknowledgments have like the next challenge that the device needs to hop to. So we code the next channel that the device needs to hop to within the acknowledgments.
Without modifying the structure of the acknowledgments, so it's still within spec somehow?
I'm not really sure about that because we have, there is like a slight system detail here. So what we are using is Intel 5300 Wi-Fi cards. So they don't really measure Wi-Fi phase for acknowledgments. So we are doing custom acknowledgments in that case, yeah.
I see, thank you very much.
Sure.
Hi, Dinesh Bharadia, Stanford. I was wondering how much time does it take to actually measure without including any computation complexity for the entire channels you're trying to measure the channel?
Yeah, so the channel measurement takes 100 milliseconds. It's right. So one set of channel measurements takes 100 milliseconds. The computation time is like the desktop 2.9 seconds
right.
out
and
of the three.
I think that's just because you are using CPUs. That
yeah.
could be fixable. Okay. The question is, what is the implication for the overall throughput for these Wi-Fi networks?
So that's a good question. So we have this result in our paper. And so if you locate a user once per second, you would like lose TCP throughput by like 10%.
I see.
That's the result for this. So we also have a result for UDP video streaming. But for the video streaming, you don't really feel a difference because there's a video buffer that's just there.
Great talk, and it was good work. Yeah, it takes a different level to localization on one AP. Thank you.
Thanks, Dinesh.